The following is a presentation from Lancaster Baptist Church and Pastor Paul Chapel.
Okay, Philippians chapter 1 tonight in your Bibles. It's a joy to be here. I'm so thankful for the opportunity to speak to you tonight. And I just love being here at home. It's really home for us, and it's a joy to be here. I appreciate Pastor Chapel giving me the opportunity to try to be an encouragement to you from the Word tonight. And I got to confess to you tonight, I'm preaching on worry, and I've been worried all day about preaching. So if you pray for me, I appreciate that. And as I said, it's been our joy for the past 2 years to travel for the college. And in the past 2 years, we've been in 42 states, over 200 Christian schools and churches, just telling folks about what God has done on this campus and trying to recruit young people to come out here and give their lives to Jesus Christ and serve Him so that we can send more into the harvest field. And this spring of 2015, we're praying about launching into evangelism and excited. Have several meetings on the calendar already, several revivals and teen meetings. And so we're excited about what the Lord has done for us and opening doors for us. And that's just been a blessing. I appreciate Pastor Chapel being a blessing and encouragement to me and my wife. And he's prayed for us and encouraged us and cheered us on. And I'm so thankful for that. Philippians chapter 4 tonight, I want to preach on the subject of worry. Last week, Dr. Goetsch preached on from Matthew chapter 6, and he dealt with why not to worry. And tonight, I want to deal with how not to worry from Philippians chapter 4. I plead to be applicable to you and encouragement to you and practical help from God's Word tonight. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6, the Bible says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Father, I pray that you would help us tonight as we open up your word. I pray we'd open up our hearts to receive the truth. And Father, there's somebody who's walked into this room tonight, who's come to church with worries and burdens on their heart. I pray that we'd cast those on you and walk away worry-free tonight. I pray that you would help me in Jesus' name. Amen. R.C. Trench was an archbishop in Dublin, and he struggled. He had a morbid fear that he'd live with day in, day out, and that morbid fear was the fear of one day he would be paralyzed. He feared this every day of his life. Well, he thought, one day, I fear I'm going to be paralyzed one day. One night, he was at a party. He was sitting at a table, and a lady next to him heard him muttering these mournful words. He was saying, "It's happened. It's finally happened." He says, "I can't feel my right leg. It's finally happened." The lady next to him said, "Sir, it may comfort you to know that you're pinching my leg." And from that point on, it was an awkward situation. Anybody else like that know that? Does anybody know somebody who just lives in worry, always worried about something? Who would say, "I'm that person, I always worry"? Well, if you're filled with worry tonight, you've come to the right place. Because tonight, God has a word for the worried. And tonight, I want to be a help to you. I want to give you, from Philippians chapter 4, God gives us three invitations or three calls to those who are filled with worry. And I want you to notice tonight, if you're filled with worry tonight, number one, we see a call to refocus. A call to refocus. Look in verse number 4. The Bible says, "Be careful for nothing." That word "careful" there means to be worried. It means to be anxious. It means to be filled with anxiety. And as Dr. Goetsch taught us last week, that word "worry" literally means to choke. And if you've ever lived with worry day in and day out, that's exactly what it does to us. And physically, it chokes the life out of us. And some of you live with that day in, day out. There's folks tonight who live in worry, and you can't remember the last time you got a good night's sleep. Some of you, your stomachs are in knots. You got migraines. Some of you, because of the worry, your hair's turning gray. Some of you, because of worry, your hair's turning loose. I mean, there's some physical side effects to this thing called worry, but there's also some spiritual side effects. You live in worry, it'll choke the spiritual joy and the love and the peace right out of your life. And may I say tonight, God doesn't want you to live that way. And in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said three times, "Take no thought, take no thought, take no thought." In our 2014 modern vernacular, we would say it this way: do not worry, do not worry, do not worry. And may I say this, if God says do not worry, and you're worrying, friend, that's disobedience. Disobedience is sin, and I want to say tonight, worry is a sin. You say, "Well, it's a weakness." No, it's not a weakness, it's a wickedness. God says worry is a sin. And he says in his word, you don't have to live that way. You don't have to live that way. When I read that word, be careful for nothing, I think the most striking aspect is the man who wrote that phrase. It was the Apostle Paul. And if you were to do a background check on the story of the book of Philippians, you'll come to find that there was three problems that the Apostle Paul was facing. And if anybody had a reason to worry, and if anybody had an excuse to worry, it was the Apostle Paul. And I'll tell you some of the problems that he was facing. Number one was division. If you were to read the book of Philippians, he says in chapter 4, verse number 2, he says, I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. There was a division there in the church. There was a disruption. You say, what were those two men arguing about? Friend, it wasn't men. Those were two women. There was a cat fight breaking out in the church, and Paul wasn't there to help, and that was a concern to him. Number 2, he was facing a detainment. He wrote this from prison, chained to a Roman guard. And the third thing he was facing was death. He's about to go to trial, and there's a strong possibility that he was going to lose his life. And if there's anybody that had a reason to worry, if there's anybody that had an excuse to worry, it could have been the Apostle Paul, but he wasn't worried. And you read the book of joy, the book of Philippians, and the joy that filled his heart spread and spilled out all over the pages of this book. And he writes to the believers at Philippi and said, this is the secret on how to have victory over your worry. He says, number one, we must refocus. Notice what he goes on to say, be careful for nothing but. But he's about to give an alternative. He's saying instead of worrying, as an alternative to worry, he says, but in everything by prayer. He goes on to say prayer and supplication. Now, they both have to do with prayer, obviously, but they're not the same words. They don't have the same meaning. The first word there, prayer, has the idea of devotion, adoration. We would say worship. Worship. In essence, he's saying, hey, the alternative to worry is worship. You know what I found? That I can't worry and worship at the same time. And I can't be filled with adoration and anxiety at the same time. I can do one or the other. And here Paul is calling these people. He says, hey, get your focus off your problems and get into the presence of Jesus Christ. I'll say this, when I enter into the presence of God, God gets big and my problems get small. And when I enter into the presence of God, his presence overshadows my problems. His presence overshadows my circumstances. His presence overshadows the uncertainties of my future. Hey, we need to get in the presence of God. The presence of God. He calls these people to worship. It was in the early days of aviation, and this man decided he was going to fly around the world. And he took off from his destination. He was in the air for 2 hours, and he heard a noise that caught his attention. He listened a little bit closely, and he saw that he heard it was the gnawing of a rat. There was a rat on that plane. He began to gnaw and chew on these cords. He began to think about that, and it began to cause him to worry, and it gave him an anxiety. He thought, if this rat chews through a vital cable in this plane, I could be in trouble. He began to worry, and finally it dawned on him, wait a second, that's a rat. That's a rodent. Rodents live on the ground. They live underground. They can't survive in the high altitudes. And he began to take that plane. He took it up about 1,000 feet. He took it up another 1,000 feet and another 1,000 feet until ultimately he got to about 20,000 feet in the air. And he listened back and he didn't hear that rat gnawing on that cable anymore. He had 2 more hours to go, and finally he got to his landing place and he got back. He inspected the plane, and sure enough, there was that rat. Now I'll say this, your worries are like a rat. And if you allow it to, it's going to gnaw on your heart and in your mind. But may I say this, your worries cannot survive in the secret place to the Most High. And may I say tonight that worship is a worry killer. Worship is a worry killer. I love what Corrie Ten Boom said. She said, look around and be distressed. Look inside and be depressed. Look to Jesus and be at rest. Where's your focus at tonight? You know what Paul is calling us to do here? He's saying, stop dwelling on your problems and start dwelling in his presence. Where's your focus at tonight? Isaiah 26:3 says, perfect peace have they whose mind is stayed on thee. Where's your focus at tonight? I love Psalm chapter 1. The Bible says, blessed is the man. And that phrase there means a man who's not just externally happy, but has an internal joy. And in verse 1, he gives some things that the Psalm 1 Christian or a blessed man does not do. He says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But verse 2 tells us what he does do. And in verse number 2, it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. fact, you know what that tells me? That blessed is the man who dwells in the Word and who also allows the Word to dwell in him. It's his meditation day and night. May I say this? If you're meditating on the promises of God's Word, it's going to be mighty hard to be filled with the worries of your problems. Where's your focus at tonight? Some of us need to refocus and get our minds and our thoughts and our hearts off of our problems and get them back on the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, he calls us to refocus. I want you to notice number two, it's a call to request. A call to request. He goes on to say, but in everything, in verse 6, by prayer and supplication. That word supplication means earnest sharing of burdens and needs and problems. Where prayer has to do with our worship, supplication has to do with our wants. You know what? I find, I believe, a divine order there. Worry comes before, or worship comes before wants. And I'll say this, we should bring our worship before God before we bring our wants. How many times we rush to God and say, God, I need this, and I want this, and I got to have you do this for me. May I say this? Before we ask God for more stuff, we ought to spend a few moments thanking him for the stuff he's already given us. He's already done for us. And the Bible says to come to God with a spirit of thanksgiving. It says that supplication with thanksgiving, that's the type of spirit that you ought to have as you approach God. Let me ask you, what kind of spirit do you have when you approach God? Is it a greedy spirit or is it a grateful spirit? God wants to be approached by a man or a woman who has a grateful spirit. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Friend, when we come before God, we ought to thank him for what he's done for us in the past, and we ought to thank God for what he's going to do in the future. A spirit of gratitude. A grateful spirit. And he invites us all throughout Scripture. He goes on to say, let your request be made known unto God. I love 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Hebrews chapter 4 says, let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. May I say this? If it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about. And all throughout Scripture, God invites us over and over again, bring me your worries, bring me your concerns. He says in the Gospels, come unto me, draw nigh unto me. Over and over, he gives the invitation, let me know what's on your heart. Let me know what you're struggling with. Let me know what you're worried about. You know what I find? That we oftentimes have problems in our life. We're quick to run to friends. We're quick to run to our family members, or quick to run to co-workers and talk about it on Twitter and talk about it on Facebook. But God said, he didn't say, let your request be made known unto them. He said, let your request be made known unto him. I'll say this, he's the one we ought to talk to about our problems. It's a call to request. And may I say this tonight, the good news about this verse and this truth in God's Word is that you may have carried some worries into this church with you, but tonight you can walk away without them. I'm talking about giving him your burdens, casting your care upon him. Number one, we see a call to refocus. Number two, a call to request. And lastly, number three, a call to relief. A call to relief. Notice what he says in verse number 6. He says, let your requests be made known unto God. Now look what it says in verse number 7. Verse number 7 says, and he shall fulfill all of your requests. It's not what mine says. Well, I say this is the truth here that we need to understand. God never promised in his word that he would fulfill every request that we pray for. But I do want to say this. He did promise to give us a peace when we come to him. And may I say this? Here's the truth that we need to understand in our Christian lives tonight. God calms the servant, but he doesn't always calm the storm. I love what Vernon McGee said. I think he summed the truth up best of this verse. He said, notice that when we entered into this passage, we were filled with anxiety and worry. And when we came away from this passage, we came away with peace. And between the two was prayer. Maybe we could simplify it by saying this. The bridge between worry and peace is called prayer. Would you turn to Daniel chapter 6 for me so I can illustrate this for you? Daniel chapter 6 in your Bibles is the perfect illustration of this truth. Ezekiel chapter 6, we'll see this perfectly laid out. Give you a second to get there, I'll find it too. We see this perfectly laid out. Daniel chapter 6, the Bible says in verse number 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, you say, what writing was that? That was a law that nobody could pray for 30 days. And if anybody prayed for 30 days, they'd be thrown into the den of lions. Now, see, that would have been cause for concern for Daniel. That would have been a cause to worry for Daniel. But notice what he says in verse number 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Look at verse number 11. Then these men assembled, and get this, and found Daniel praying and making supplication. That's what we just read about in Philippians chapter 4. Making supplication before his God. You go on and read the rest of the story. He gets thrown into the lion's den. And you know what? That night, the lion's den, Daniel had a perfect peace. He said that God shut the mouth of those lions. But you know what's interesting? Read about the king. The Bible says this in verse number 18 about the king. See, Daniel was in the pit. Daniel was in the den of lions, yet had a peace about him. But notice what the king had in the palace. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. So what I want to know tonight is, which side of the passage are you on? You say, Taylor, I'm facing a storm tonight. If you're in the midst of a storm tonight, may I say this, you're in one of two places. You're either in a place where you're experiencing the peace of God, or you're over here experiencing worry and filled with worry and anxiety. I'm asking you, which place are you on? If you're over here and you're in the midst of a storm and you're experiencing the peace of God, there's only one way that you got here, and it was through prayer. Now, friend, if you're over here and you're filled with worry, God sits on the other side saying, my peace is available. I'll give you my peace. I'll trade your worries for my peace. I might say this, if you're filled with worry tonight, the only way to get to the peace of God is through prayer. It's through prayer. So I'm asking you tonight, which side of the passage are you on? The peace of God is a wonderful thing. The peace of God is available to every Christian. But may I say this? There's a difference between the peace of God and having the peace with God. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. May I say this? Every Christian has the peace with God, but not every Christian has the peace of God. Maybe here tonight and you're a sinner, you're lost, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible says you can have peace with God. The Bible says that Jesus Christ made peace through the blood of His cross. Peace with God. You say, Taylor, I don't have that. I would like that. You can get it tonight. We'd love to take a Bible and show you how to be saved, how that you can have peace with God so that ultimately you can have the peace of God. So I'm asking you, Christian, what side of the passage are you on tonight? Worry or the peace of God?